Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send a request, plus for text line 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured artist Friday, 410-583-1057. Same number there. We got you covered. No doubt about it. John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday. And the Ravens haven't had a ton of injuries. They have a couple of guys all banged up. And here's Harbs talking about the depth and the importance of having it on your roster.
Hugely valuable, you know, because then you can get guys back on the right time frames, and you've got guys to step in and not fall off. And we work really hard to have a deep roster. You know, that's something that we value very much. And I think we do a great job of it. Eric is always working at it, along with all the scouts, George Kokinas, and all the guys. I mean, they just do an amazing job. So yet and still, you don't want any injuries, you know, but you want to protect yourself.
Well, yeah, go ahead, man.
I think it's kind of easy to see because we keep talking about how difficult the 53 is going to be to pick. And what does that mean? It means you got good depth. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, it's not going to be a drop-off. You know, you got Likely. All right, so you got Andrews. You got Andrews, who's really kind of their 1A, you know. And then you got Kolar, who, you know, is a good 3. But then, okay, you know what? We're going to, if we're not having Likely for the first game, which probably not, all right, then Todd Monken, you know, when we work against Buffalo, all right, because of that, maybe, you know, we're using more 3 wides and that type of thing. So that's the kind of depth that you got because you've got a lot of weapons, not saying, oh, damn, we're not going to have Likely. That's going to kill us, you know? No, okay, we'll just have to adjust.
Now, Zay Flowers was not at practice yesterday. What was all that about there?
Harp said he's got campitis, which to me he's got some tendonitis working, something sore. I'm guessing, you know, he hurt his knee last year. Maybe his knee is sore. So Harp said he's going to miss a couple days. So, you know, he missed yesterday, missed today. They're off tomorrow. Then maybe he's back Saturday. Maybe that was kind of the plan for him. But it didn't seem like anything serious.
Now, Armour Davis, what's the status report with him?
The
guy that we talk about every year at this time, not being on the field.
Soft tissue. I guess they saw the MRI. It's not that bad. He'll be back soon.
Soon.
Yeah, you know what? When you got soon that he needs, Bob, is it would be ideal if he could practice on Tuesday, you know, when the Colts are here. Or, more importantly, be able to start that game next Thursday night. Week from tonight, when they're playing, when they're hosting the Indianapolis Colts, he needs to be able to get a lot of reps. I mean, he's going to – and it'd be nice if Kone could be back too, because that would be big for him, you know, because he's going to play a lot. Tampa's going to play a lot. Longerbeam's going to play. Those guys need to play to show. They just need reps, game reps.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Now, Malachi Starks was drafted as a safety out of Georgia to start. But John Harbaugh talks about old Malachi getting some reps at cornerback here in camp.
Well, you probably didn't see him playing corner today. He actually played corner. He actually played nickel today a little bit. They had him moving around. It's, you know, he's definitely going to be a safety, but we do present our defense in different ways. And then also the idea that playing all those positions helps him really learn the defense completely. So very, very smart player.
Yeah, and I think what Harv just said there at the end is probably the most important. He's a very smart player. So that's his way of learning what everybody is doing. So when he's back there, he knows what the corner's doing. He knows what the nickel's doing. He knows all those positions, you know, so and he can handle it. And that's why they're throwing more at him. Why? Because he can handle it. If he couldn't handle it, they'd only be playing him at safety.
But as Harbaugh also said, Vinny, he's a safety.
Oh, no doubt.
In a pinch, you know, good to have a little positional versatility, I guess.
Right. Absolutely. But no, he is their starting safety. And Bob, the big question for me is he playing in any preseason game? I mean, could he use it? Yes. But the drop off from him to the next guy would be huge.
Now, Chidobe Awuzie, who's been a talented player throughout his career, but he's had some injury problems, and you know, maybe he had tweaked some stuff, I guess, during mini camp a month or so ago, but he's out there now and he's making his presence felt, and John Harbaugh praises the work ethic.
Yeah, really stepping up the last day or two, you know, I think he's really starting to feel healthy, and boy, he knows how to play. You know, he's smart, still learning the ins and outs of the defense, but he's a real quick learner. When you talk to him about it, he picks it up really fast, so very excited about him.
I mean, that's the depth they've got, because, Bob, when you go out there right now, 2 and 3 are the starting corners, which is Wiggins and Awuzie, you know, and then Jair comes in too. So, I mean, how about that for, like, right now your third corner, Jair Alexander, you know, not bad, you know, and you got TJ Tapp. They've got some nice depth. The thing is about all their corners, they're all smart and they all got ball skills. Everybody can find a football, and that's big. Because they didn't have that last year.
Now, we talked about Starks at safety. We know Kyle Hamilton's pretty good at the back end of your secondary. But Bo Brait, former University of Maryland Terrapin, second year in the National Football League. And Harbs talks about the former Terrapin.
I think Bo is flying around. He's playing really well. I saw him. He's the first guy in the weight room in the morning. Saw him in there this morning, and he was lamenting the plays that he didn't make. So you appreciate that mindset. But very determined, very serious, doing a good job. Really good.
The thing that Bo's got to do, Bob, is Chris Horton has got to tell Harbs and Eric, I can't live without the guy. I got to have him on my he's my core special team guy. And if he's your core special team guy, he'll be on team. But he's making some plays, really showing good instincts, you know. And I think with pads coming on, and he'll play a lot in the preseason game, he'll make some plays in the backfield because he's a good blitzer. And he's a good run player. And I think him and Sanusi.
Kane.
Citizen. I mean, I get Bone. You know, you got Bone. You got Kone. You know, 21 and 31, Bob. 21 to safety. He makes a lot of plays. I like him. And he and Brait are right now the number two safeties.
And finally, John Harbaugh with the injury to Likely. Going to miss the next few weeks for sure. Maybe the opener against Buffalo. Talks about the opportunity now for Charlie Kolar.
Yeah, for sure, big opportunity for Charlie. I mean, that's what happens, and that's the way football goes. Guys get their opportunities in various ways, and they need to work to be ready. And we have all the confidence in the world in Charlie.
Yeah, but he is not likely, and he can't do. He doesn't do anything similar to Likely, because Likely's quick, explosive, you know, got outstanding hands, makes one-handed catches, awesome yak dude, you know, whereas Charlie Kolar is, I don't know that Charlie Kohler's ever a starter in this league. You know, he's improved his blocking where he's their blocking guy, and, you know, he can catch. He's 6'7", he's about 270 pounds, he's a long strider, which really hurts his suddenness. You know, but can he catch? Yeah, he's a big target, but he is nowhere near Likely. There's Likely and Andrews, and then there's Charlie Kolar. You know, and Charlie, he may be the better blocker of the three, but in the pass game, he's way down there compared to those two.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, count some dough, talk about sports subjects, and buy or sell on this Total Request Thursday. Cordell Woolen, get his impressions of training camp so far. Back at it today are the Ravens. Expected to rain. Still sunny. Who knows? Out of control, that sort of thing. And up on lunch, 1 o'clock, American League East Report at 1:15. And Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk about the start of training camp and the trade deadline as the Padres are coming to get the Dodgers.
Get your podcast. Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Trade deadline going down. Major League Baseball deadline is 6 o'clock tonight. Orioles haven't made any moves yet outside of Arias and Kittredge late last night. Early this morning, Mason Miller was traded from Oakland, the A's to the Padres, and we'll give you the particulars on that one. But Ramon Laureano was a very attractive piece for a lot of teams, Padres being one of them. Ravens back at camp today at 1:15. But let's count some new, a little by yourself.
All right, the Dow's up 3. The S&P's up 35. NASDAQ is up 211. DraftKings is down 34 cents. Under Armour's down 4 cents. I remember just recently it was up over $7. Now it's 632.
All right, we'll start today in the NFL, where the Jets have already handed out a pair of contract extensions so far this offseason. But if you're expecting fourth-year running back Breece Hall to be next in line, maybe think again. His words, not mine. The running back himself said this week that he himself is not even expecting something to get done right now, saying, quote, we got a new head coach, new GM. Obviously, I wasn't drafted by them. I'm not their guy. Well, both of the extended players this offseason came from the same draft class as Breece Hall. They weren't necessarily the handpicked guys by this new regime either. Vinny, are you buying or selling that Breece Hall will get left behind in where the Jets are going?
You know what? I'm going to sell it because I think he's going to have a big year this year, because he needs to have a big year for this year for them to do anything, because Justin Fields is not the most accurate guy in the world, and they've got to have a strong run game. So I'm going to say he has a big year, and that'll save him, my Cyclone.
Over to baseball and the deadline. The Yankees needed some outfield depth with Aaron Judge banged up, so they went out and did what the Orioles did a year ago and traded for Austin Slater. Actually, one of the more puzzling deadline moves by Elias last year, but he did end up appearing in 33 games for the O's before the season came to an end. This year with the White Sox, 51 games played. Buy or sell, Bob, Slater will appear in more games for the Yankees down the stretch than he did with Baltimore last summer.
You said 33?
33, magic number.
And let's see, Judge is on the IL.
Many of those, like, eighth or ninth inning defensive replacements.
Yeah.
Not necessarily starts.
Now, when Judge comes back, it looks like he's going to be more of a DH-only guy. Your defense is already shaky if you're Aaron Boone, so you didn't want Stanton out there flopping around, depending on what they do over the next, I don't know, 6.5 hours. I'll buy it. Slater!
Back to football here. Most of the Steelers' offseason was consumed by the wait for Aaron Rodgers. But now that that's over with, it's in the rear view. It's business as usual. But do they have enough to compete in the AFC North? As far as weapons for Aaron Rodgers, well, landing DK Metcalf, that's a nice piece. And trading for Jonnu Smith, that doesn't hurt either. Reliable pass catcher at tight end. But other than that, not really much in the Pittsburgh offense. NFL.com's Kevin Patra writes that a veteran wide receiver like Keenan Allen would be a good late camp signing for them. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Steelers aren't done adding to their offense.
I'll buy that. I was watching, you know, on McAfee yesterday, they had Tomlin and, you know, they had a lot of the Steeler guy. I tell you what, their confidence level is extremely high. I mean, Tomlin was really kind of excited about his team and everything. So I'll buy it. They're all in. So I'll buy that they go get another veteran receiver.
Well, basketball here. It's been roughly 5 years since the NBA held their bubble postseason and finished what they, what was interrupted by the pandemic at the time. The Lakers hoisting the Larry O'Brien Trophy that year, a playoff format that was unlike anything we've ever seen. Not just the location, the lack of fans, but a more condensed schedule to move things along as quickly as possible. The title was mocked in the moment, has since been disregarded by some fans, but it's not just fans on social media doing the chatter here. One NBA executive feels the same way and says he's not alone in the league either. Daryl Morey recently said in an interview with The Athletic that no one around the NBA believes that that was a legitimate, genuine championship by the Lakers. Bob, are you buying or selling that that year doesn't carry the same weight as a title in a typical year?
I'm buying it 100%. Dodgers in 2020 during the COVID year. The Spurs during the lockout of 99. A lot of people dismiss that title that they had with Greg Popovich. It's still an accomplishment, and in the record books, it still counts. But no road games. And I mean, wasn't it? I mean, Jimmy Butler just ran out of gas. Milwaukee didn't even play in a game because of unrest. I get it, but I don't.
I did like that Maury said there with the Rockets at the time, said, hey, if the Rockets won that year, I'd still celebrate. It would be legit. But he's willing to disregard the Lakers because he wasn't a part of it.
You got to do what you got to do. Selfishness has no bounds, Nolan McGrath.
Last topic of the day, and it's a big one. Football is back, so you know we got to do a buy or sell question about the Hall of Fame game. Everyone's favorite game of the year. Going to be played tonight in Canton between the Chargers and the Lions. If preseason action wasn't exciting enough, how about a bonus exhibition game that neither team really seems to want to be a part of every year? As usual, this game will feature even less recognizable names than typical. And that's right, I'm going there. The over-under is set at 32.5, Vinny. Buy or sell, LA and Detroit are going over the total tonight and give us a preseason thriller to kick off the year. Don't sound so enthused.
I'll be reading about it in the morning, the final score. I'll buy it. I'll say that we have a lot. Although, you know, the Chargers are going to run the ball. It's raining. Yeah, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to say it's going under. Just what I'm thinking about, Giro, he's going to run the football. Detroit, because you know what? When you get in those games, you want to run it. Why? Because then the clock's moving and the game's short, and then you got less chance of injury. So I'll say it's going to be under.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny, you're heading out to one winning drive. What are you looking for here? We're assuming not in pads.
No, Harp said that yesterday. They're going to be in shells today. I think it's going to be kind of a teaching practice, Bob, where they go over some stuff that corrections and a lot of fundamental work. So that's... I guess I'll look to see who's out there. I think it's going to be kind of a slow day at practice.
When we come back, Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us, talk Ravens with him, get his thoughts on the Orioles as well, because he's our Orioles reporter in the clubhouse at Oriole Park Camden Yards. As the trade deadline is 6 o'clock tonight, so the activity is happening. It's been a little slow in the last hour or so, but still going on nonetheless. We'll talk about the trades that have been made. We'll get to the funhouse since we couldn't do it last hour with Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch at 1, American League East Report at 1:15, and then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. His thoughts on all things sports with the Hall of Fame game going on tonight. You know what? Mike's probably crazy enough to put a fantasy team together, daily fantasy for tonight's game. He's our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan with the Terps, Ravens, Orioles, you name it. He's got you covered. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's up?
What's going on?
A little of this, a little of that. We'll start with the Orioles real quick. Urias, Kittredge get dealt. Any surprise level for either guy, given the fact that both were controllable through 2026?
Not really, at least for me. I mean, I can understand the people that were kind of surprised for the reason you mentioned. They have team control next year, and Mike Elias's whole message has been building for next year. So you think he'd want to keep guys around that are under team control. But in the case of Arias, I think that was – a move where, A, they're trying to capitalize off, you know, his price, I guess you could say, his stock being somewhat decent right now, and it opens up room for Mayo to get more run, which I think everybody wants to see these days. But Arias has been good for them. He's been a utility guy. To be honest, they've had too many utility guys on this roster at the same time. But Arias has arguably been maybe the best one, being a Gold Glover over at third base. You never have any questions about his glove. He's come through in the clutch for them a couple of times, many times, I should say, at the plate. So I think they got their money's worth with Arias, and I had no problem with them trading him out. Kittredge, I mean, when you look and see what teams are getting for bullpen arms right now, why wouldn't you trade as many bullpen guys as you can right now? I mean, as good as I think that they expected him to be, obviously the year gets started off slow with him being hurt. And then he hasn't been terrible, but he also hasn't been great. So I think that they're just kind of seeing how the market is going for these bullpen arms, and they decided to jump in those waters. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Now, real quick before we get to the Ravens, the other Ramon, Laureano, say 8 hours from now, is he still going to be an Oriole? Because it looks like a lot of teams interested in his services, Cordell. Another guy signed through next year, too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to listen to Laureano. I mean, he's playing really well right now. I mean, maybe his stock is as high as it'll ever be, at least in an Orioles uniform. But I'm not just giving him away because, again, when you start talking about putting your best team together for 26, I have a hard time thinking Laureano isn't a part of that. When you look at this outfield, assuming Mullins isn't going to be there, who, I mean, outside of Calver, they have a bunch of question marks. We'll see. I think Beaver should be here, but you never know with how they proceed with some of these prospects and when they decide to call guys up and what type of runway they give them. But Beavers looks the part. We'll see what he looks like when he gets up here. But even still, that leaves an open spot. And I know O'Neill's been hot. We'll wait and see what that looks like. But they, I just feel like with all the question marks they have in their outfield going into next year, Laureano, I mean, he fits right into that. So I'm willing to listen to offers, but if I'm Mike Elias and I'm away, I'm probably not trading Laureano.
Cordell Woodland joining us here, Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw on this now rainy Total Request Thursday. Draft class of 25, Cordell, outside of Starks and Mike Green, which rookie drafted player has impressed you the most through the first week plus of training camp?
I mean, to be honest with you, it's kind of slim pickings after that. I mean, you could go with Tyler Loop. Tyler Loop goes 9 for 9 yesterday. 53 yards was his longest yesterday. He's hit a 58-yarder in camp. So, I mean, he had the one bad day in camp where he went 4 for 7. That was the only day that he missed any kicks. So, outside of that, he's been pretty consistent. Throughout the course of training camp, we know he struggled a little bit in minicamp and OTAs. But outside of him, it hasn't been a whole lot of consistency. I thought yesterday was a pretty good day for Teddy Buchanan. He popped up and flashed on a couple of plays. I've been watching a lot of Longer Beam out there at corner. I don't think he's had a great camp, but I did think that yesterday was definitely a step in the right direction for him. Yesterday was a day where a lot of the young guys got to get a lot of reps. Some of the veteran guys, they were out there. They didn't really participate in a lot of the team drills. So it opened up for some of the young guys to get some reps. So we got to see more of them yesterday. But I don't want to lie. I mean, Wester showed up a little bit yesterday, but he struggled in camp dropping passes when he's gotten the ball thrown to him for the most part. So outside of the top two guys and Tyler Loop, I mean, there just hasn't been a whole lot of consistency from the rest of this draft class.
And you mentioned Wester, Cordell. Is he the guy that they would like to return punts this year? Because I guess Keaton Mitchell's going to do the kicks. But is Wester, the unreliability with the hands, does that give them pause a little bit? And then Tylan Wallace will be back doing those sorts of things here?
I mean, they're definitely giving other guys a look, too. I think they drafted Wester with the idea that he would be their punt returner. So I do think they're going to give him every opportunity to show that he can do that. But they're still giving a look to guys like Dayton Wade as well back there, Tylan Wallace, like you mentioned also. They're going to cycle through and give some of these other guys opportunity. And Keaton Mitchell taking a couple of reps, fielding punts as well. So the more he can do, the more opportunity, talking about Keaton, the more opportunities he gets to get the ball in his hands, I think he would love that. But, yeah, Wester, I do wonder what it looks like for him if he's not the punt returner, right? Like, does he – I don't know if he makes this 53-man roster. I don't think he does if he's not the team's punt returner. And maybe that means he goes to the practice squad or what have you. But that's kind of the big question mark for me because this team is so loaded. They're going to – it's going to be tight at some of these positions, and wide receiver might be one of them.
With David Ajabo and Adisa Isaac, lot of talk, Cordell, that they're fighting for the last spot and Ajabo could be more of a bubble guy than Isaac is. Based on what you've seen so far, 3 days in pads, does either have the upper hand in regards to securing a roster spot? And obviously, we still have 3 preseason games to get through as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I feel like Ajabo has been the busier of the two. And he's been inconsistent himself in practice. He definitely looks the part. I'll say that. Ajabo looks the part in terms of just his frame. Like, the dude is built. He looks like a guy that you don't want to hit your quarterback. It's just a matter of, is he going to get there? And I think the preseason games are going to be huge for David Ajabo. He's got to show that he can beat some of these backup offensive linemen that he'll be going against, because if not, what's the point? And because of that, I do think Isaac probably has the edge, not because he's looked better in camp, but just because I think they, you know, Ajabo's had time. They've given Ajabo years to kind of figure this whole thing out. Isaac is only in his second year. Last year was a redshirt year for him, basically. So I think that they're willing to show more patience with Isaac, who's still a work in progress himself. I just think Ajabo might be running out of time if he doesn't show up big time in preseason.
Cordell, last thing before you get to the offense real quick, Devontae Walker, second year out of North Carolina. What kind of an impression has he made on you so far in training camp?
A good one. I've been very pleased with what I've seen from Tez Walker. I mean, he looks like an NFL receiver this year. Last year, you didn't even notice he was on the field half the time when he was out there healthy. And it's just a tough jump to go from, you know, college football and then to the NFL. It's a big time jump to do that. And especially for a guy like him that didn't get to play a lot in his last year at North Carolina because of all the eligibility issues. And by all accounts, a lot of people that, you know, were focused on the draft last year, when they talked about Tez Walker, they said this would be the year that you would start to see a little bit of a return on the Ravens' investment. So so far, in just this summer, I can't even just say training camp, really throughout all of these team activities this summer, he has flashed. He looks like he's gaining Lamar's trust. He's winning. I mean, he's going up against guys like Jair Alexander out there, putting out good film, too, on some of those reps. And Jair's giving him a test as well. Jair is so good at pressing at the line of scrimmage, despite kind of being more undersized than I thought he was. He's really good at jamming guys. But Tez has shown his size with being able to fight against that jam and use his speed and showing good hands, too. So I think it's been a really good camp for Tez. Like I said, he's gaining Lamar's trust. We'll see what it looks like in the preseason for him. But I will say, 2 weeks now into camp, my impression of what Tez's role would be this season has definitely changed.
Cordell, next Fresh Take Sports, when's that?
Tonight. Tonight at 6 o'clock, which should be a fun one because obviously that's when the deadline ends. We'll put a cap on that, see who's left here on this Orioles team, and look ahead to the rest of the Orioles season and obviously talk a lot of training camp as well. And we got football tonight.
There you go. First of like 8 bazillion straight weeks with some sort of football game going on. Cordell Woodland, Fresh Take Sports, tonight at 6. Cordell, appreciate it. Have fun out at One Winning Drive today.
Thanks, Bob.
You got it, man. We'll come back, reset the program for you. NFL Lunch coming up top of the hour. American League East Report. Look what happened in the division. Look back, I should say. What happened in the division last night. Orioles lose a game they probably should have won, but, you know, the season's lost. Still only 7 out of the wild card. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talked to him at 1:30 about the trade deadline and the upcoming start to the NFL season. We'll start tackling, pun intended, some fantasy options for you as well. Who could be this year's Tigers? Team that's selling, that could kind of rise from the ashes and do some crazy stuff.
You're really trying to bait me into this.
By the way, the Orioles were in first place at the trade deadline.
Right. You really want me to be back in on the Orioles.
Come on, man.
I gave all there was to give. I gave them all my energy earlier this year. They squandered it. They disappointed me.
So you're not buying it yet?
Not the Orioles. But to answer your question here, because that is interesting, record-wise, I look at the Angels, but they did just buy yesterday. So they don't really fit the bill of a seller, but record-wise, they might be in that boat. Looking in the National League, I don't know. It's tough. Hard to say. Definitely not Arizona. They're all in on the sell.
Not the Cardinals either, I wouldn't think. Reds are buying.
Not the Marlins.
No. Giants, maybe? Nah.
Well, I guess the obvious answer is it's not going to happen because it shouldn't have happened for the Tigers last year because that stuff just doesn't happen at all. I mean, puts into perspective how incredible that run was for them, really from a clubhouse perspective, you know, to lose all those guys, to have that seller's mindset, and for whoever was left over to rally and say, well, you know what? It's not over. Keep playing. And in the early stages of that, I don't even know if they themselves would have said, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs. It probably was still an individual prideful thing that, well, I'm going to play for myself and my own stats and my individual future. And then all of a sudden, I'd be interested to know from their players, what was the turning point? What was the moment or the win that told them, hey, this might actually be legit for us.
Yeah, they were 14 games out, Detroit, of the division. Just throwing that out there for you, Nolan McGraw. I got one team in mind. Nah, I stuck a fork in the Orioles a month ago.
I mean, I begged you 2 months ago to say they're back, and you wouldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
You can't do it now.
Hey, look, if they win that Friday game in Colorado, and yesterday they'd be on, what, a 7-game winning streak?
Well, now you're sounding like Mancelino.
I know. Well, you know.
If we won right before the All-Star break, then we'd be okay.
We wouldn't have had a bunch of losing streaks there. Hey, let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Ed and Arbutus. Ed, what's happening?
Bob, Nolan, Vinny, if you're still listening, good day to all you gentlemen.
All right, Bob, what's up, man?
Good day, gentlemen. Briefly, Raven and Oriole current comments. Orioles, I like the thought process to stockpile surplus young pitching arms to groom in-house to climb the ladder. So you're in the same theory, climbing. Another assessment of the team at this moment, if they're adamant to deal both Mullins and O'Hearn, then they're searching for a lefty bat. It makes no sense. Personally, I think it's wiser for the Orioles' advantage to keep Mullins. And if they deal O'Hearn, Basayo is a sure bet one-for-one promotion replacement, so there's no hurt there. Would also keep Laureano next year out of spring training. You're starting outfield. It's Couser, Mullins, Laureano, and that's good to go. That matches up with any team you play. Ravens, Isaiah Likely injury. Regular season opener Buffalo on the road looming. Likely is a unique type offensive weapon player who offers sure-handed catch radius and after catch immediate north yak yardage. Andrews is still a great player. However, if Likely is a no-go, there is a double tight formation void adjustment that's needed for discussion. That's it today, gentlemen. I thank you for your courtesy.
All right, Ed, great thoughts as always. And we were talking yesterday that not a tight end, but Hopkins, maybe he gets a little more run. And we just talked about Tez Walker, who's been very impressive out of training camp. But the good news appears to be that Likely, if he misses a game, it's only going to be one. But 2 days removed from him having surgery on his foot. So it may be optimistic to think that he'll be back in, 6 to 8 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks, whatever it was. And the Ravens have given kind of these vague timelines before, Nolan, and dudes are longer out of the lineup than they initially envisioned them to be.
Hard not to be skeptical whenever you hear John Harbaugh talking about injury timelines. Yeah. And he himself has shied away from even giving timelines before just because he's screwed up in the past. And I'm not necessarily saying it's his fault. Maybe he was given wrong information. What he was told at the time didn't pan out. A guy's rehab didn't really work out the way they thought it would. But if you're the coach, I mean, and he's up here, you know, this week saying, oh, we expect him back by week one. I mean, other than trying to keep everyone calm, what does that really accomplish? You're just kind of setting yourself up for disappointment if you don't hit that benchmark.
Right, and then we're in the fans and even media, and we're like fans and media kind of mixed together. Well, you said this day, where is he? What's the deal? Then he gets testy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm not a doctor. You'll have to talk to the training staff or ask him why he's not out here. Now, getting back to the Orioles, and I don't see Mullins being here by the end of the day. Certainly not in 2026, but you did the projected outfield. And I want Laureano to stay unless they get a deal that you just can't refuse because they need right-handed bats. But we keep forgetting Tyler O'Neill all of a sudden, who's been on a real tear as of late. And I doubt he opts out of his contract, so he'll be in Baltimore in 2026. Dylan Beavers is the next guy up. Probably we'll see him after the trade deadline at some point. Basayo as well. Let's get a look at it. I'm a little bit disappointed in Couser, though. Made a great throw yesterday. Nailed the guy at the plate. But the offense is rather tepid. And the K rate is through the roof. We were talking about that a little bit yesterday.
Right there with Jackson Holliday,
yeah.
Two of the worst offenders in terms of strikeouts on the team. I'm not as down on him as you might be, but a side story here, interested to keep an eye on for this offseason, We keep saying that there's going to be a hole to fill in center field. Do you think there's any possible way that they end up signing someone else to play left field and slide Couser to center? Or does that just seem too inconvenient for his development? Did you rather just keep him in left?
I could see Couser handling center field on an everyday basis. We've seen him do it at times. Nah, whatever's best for the team. Couser looks like a could play all three outfield spots guy. Laureano can play all three, but maybe his center field days were left in Oakland a few seasons ago. You know, Beavers is a center fielder. The guy with the highest upside defensively in the organization is Enrique Bradfield. And Honeycutt is apparently an 80-level defensive guy, too. Problem with both of them. Where's the offense? And Bradfield's a couple years now in, what, 3 years? What is he drafted? 24? 23. So he's third year in the system here and drafted out of college, too. He's like Mateo. The speed plays. Get him on base 33-34% of the time. You're watching a guy wreak havoc on the base pass. So it's all about the stick. And you talk about K rates. Honeycutt's is apparently historically bad down in the minors.
He's a ways away. I mean, he might be off the radar right now when we're talking about guys that could actually do something for this outfield in the immediate future. But with that in mind, you know, get rid of Honeycutt because there's others out there with Beavers and Fabian. But it seems like whoever they sign this offseason, it'll be of the stopgap variety. Probably someone like a Laureano-type deal, one year with an option for another. Because best-case scenario, Enrique Bradfield Jr. could be up here by the end of next year, or his development could slow down, and he might not be ready. So, and even when he does get here, is he going to suffer the same fate that a lot of these other prospects have, that it takes him a while to get going? I mean, I think you kind of have to build that into your plans as well. You need a little runway. It's not as simple as, all right, this is his call-up date. He's the starter, no questions asked. There's probably going to be a transition process for him to get up to speed.
Is it bad that neither one of us have mentioned Heston Kjerstad in this whole equation?
I think that's very telling.
Yes,
it's very telling. But it's right field or nothing for him.
Yeah,
he's not going to play left with how cavernous it is.
No.
Certainly not playing center. I mean, if we want to be really honest about him, his best shot to maybe make the team would be as a DH, but I don't think the Orioles are in a position to have a full-time, dedicated, singular DH. They like to move it around, and with the Basayo-Adley dynamic, throw Mayo in at first base, too. I mean, it's going to be a rotation of DHs for this team.
And Manzolino said right after Kjerstad was optioned back to the minors, if we're developing DHs, we're not doing our jobs as a minor league system. We'll come back, switch to the NFL real quick. NFL lunch style. Trey Hendrickson back at Bengals camp. What did he say about that? You'll hear it. AL East report at 1:15. And we'll talk all things sports with Mike Harmon, who probably has a bet for tonight's game. Chargers-Lions Hall of Fame game in Canton.